Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
I came back for a reason. I came back to bring a championship to our city. I knew what I was capable of doing. I knew what I learned in the last couple of years that I was gone. And when I came back, I knew I had the right ingredients and the right blueprint to help this franchise get back to a place that we've never been. And right now, it's just excitement. You know, it's not even relief. It's just excitement for us as a team, as a franchise, as a city, as a community, to be able to continue to build up our city, continue to be an inspiration to our city. It means everything, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
That's LeBron James, happy to be a part of the city of Cleveland's first major professional sports championship in 52 years. LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers edged the host Golden State Warriors Sunday night 93-89 in Oakland, California, in a thrilling Game 7 of the National Basketball Association Finals. It was the first NBA title for the Cavaliers, who entered the league in 1970 as an expansion club. The Cavs are also the first team to come back from a 3-1 deficit in NBA Finals history. In addition, the Cavaliers gain revenge after losing to the Warriors in the 2015 NBA Finals 4-2. The decisive Game 7 of the 2016 NBA Finals is being described as one of the great games in the history of the league. It featured 20 lead changes and 11 ties. LeBron James was a unanimous choice as the most valuable player of the NBA Finals after finishing with a triple-double, 27 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists, along with 3 blocks, including a key block of Andre Iguodala to prevent a go-ahead layup with 1 minute and 50 seconds left. Now, with less than a minute left in the game and the score tied at 89, Cleveland star guard Kyrie Irving hit a crucial 3-point shot to give the Cavs the lead for good.
And it was 89-89 in that fourth quarter. So I was just thinking the next team that scores has a great chance of winning the championship, and I hope that we can be the team that's on that end.
Kyrie Irving finished with 26 points in Game 7. Remember, VOA basketball fans, Kyrie broke his kneecap in Game 1 of last year's NBA Finals and missed the rest of the series. On Sunday night, Irving outplayed Golden State's two-time league most valuable player, Stephen Curry.
Yeah, it stung. It sucked to watch him, you know, celebrate, and wish that would have been us. But at the end of the day, you congratulate them for accomplishing what they set out to do. And it'll be a good image for us over the summer and all next season to remember so that, you know, we come back stronger. That's all you can do.
Steph Curry had 17 points in Game 7, but he shot poorly, missing 13 of the 19 shots he took. Steph's teammate Draymond Green was Golden State's best player on Sunday night. He scored 32 points, grabbed 15 rebounds, and had 9 assists. But after winning a record 73 games during the regular season, the Warriors came up short in the NBA Finals. Talk to us, Draymond.
It's been an amazing year. We failed at one goal we had, you know, but this whole season isn't a failure to me. You know, we accomplished some great things. We didn't reach the end prize, but there'll be more years for that.
This year, though, it's the city of Cleveland, after more than a half century of heartbreak and frustration, that's celebrating. A big parade is scheduled in downtown Cleveland on Wednesday, and LeBron James is ready for the festivities.
It's going to be the biggest party that Cleveland has ever seen, ever. So if you guys still have a little money left over in your budget, you guys better make a trip to Cleveland and get a little piece of it.
Joining me now here in Studio 22 is Dan Friedel of the VOA's Learning English Department and VOA sports reporter Toddy Abeje. Dan, I'll begin with you. I know you've told our Voice of America listeners how you have some ties to Cleveland. You're from that area. What does their championship mean to you on a personal level?
Well, I remember being a teenager and having a giveaway poster of the Cleveland Cavs team from probably the late 80s or the early 90s from when I went to a game at the Richfield Coliseum, which is about halfway between Cleveland and Akron. And some of the players on that team were Hot Rod Williams and Brad Daugherty and Chris Dudley, who was a center from Yale who made it into the NBA, Ron Harper, Mark Price, Craig Elo, all these guys. And those were the players that I grew up watching, and those were the players who were on the floor when Michael Jordan hit his iconic shot to knock the Cavs out of the playoffs 1 year. And that really solidified what I thought it was like to be a Cleveland fan, a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, having this really exciting team that always came up short. So it was very exciting to see them win the game last night. And one of the things I saw on Facebook today resonated with me. Andy Borowitz, who's a writer for The New Yorker, he's a comedy writer, said, "Okay, Cleveland, it's okay to celebrate now. You know, like, something terrible is not going to happen. They're not going to take away the championship." And that's really how I feel. I mean, when I was young and a big fan of the football team, the Cleveland Browns, there was a game. It really looked like the Browns were going to go to the Super Bowl. The star running back was a couple of yards away from the end zone, and the Denver Broncos defense ripped the ball away from him and right. ended the game right there. That was a horrible moment that I remember as far as being a Cleveland sports fan. So there's like, even when you think the game is all in your favor, you always worry that there's going to be something terrible that's about to happen. And now we are. We woke up the next day, and it's for real, so it's a nice feeling.
Toddy Abeje, we heard from LeBron James earlier getting ready for that big parade on Wednesday. That performance on Sunday night, does that pretty much solidify his legacy?
Absolutely. He's one of the top five players in NBA history. This championship was the greatest championship in his career because his team is the first team in NBA history to come back from a 3-1 deficit to win the championship. And he won one for Cleveland, something a Cleveland sports team has not won since 1964.
Let's get back to Dan Friedel. What were some of the key moments for you in Game 7, Dan? I know there were, you know, some great plays in that contest. Which plays really stood out for you on from a Cleveland perspective?
Well, there was a stretch where in the fourth quarter both teams were struggling to score. You could see that the pressure was kind of getting to both sides. There were some missed shots. I think LeBron had an attempt that looked like it was a typical LeBron play that he was going to finish at the rim, and I think he got a foul that wasn't actually called and the ball didn't go in. A few minutes later, he drew a foul on a three-point attempt, and he made all three of the foul shots to put the Cavs back in the lead, or maybe not in the lead, but down by one,
right,
setting up the last part of the game. Obviously, Irving's three-pointer was huge. LeBron came back with a couple of block shots. It was not the most pretty end of a game, but it was an exciting thing to see regardless.
Toddy Abeje, I know some of our VOA basketball fans might be familiar with Uncle Drew. Uncle Drew is actually Kyrie Irving's, the other side of Kyrie Irving on the commercial side. He does these sort of skits, video skits. That one shot he made last night against the Warriors, that running left-hander where he just kind of threw it up high off the glass and was fouled, that was an Uncle Drew shot, Toddy.
That was definitely an Uncle Drew shot, including the big three-pointer you hit over Stephen Curry. That was clutch. He's a big-time player, and he's a top 5 point guard in this league.
So you think he's definitely one of the best point guards in the NBA?
Oh, no question. He's a big-time player, and he's clutch. He has the Mamba mentality that he got from the great Kobe Bryant.
Dan, I know you'll be watching that parade with great interest on Wednesday. Who are some of the people we're going to see there? I mean, will they be long-suffering Cleveland fans, or were they going to be more of the basketball diehards?
The people who are going to be there are both. I mean, the long-suffering fans, I was, you know, if you're anything over the age of, or under the age of about 54 years old, you will not have seen a Cleveland team win a championship in your lifetime. My father died 3 weeks ago today. He actually was at the Cleveland Browns game in 1964 when they won the championship.
Wow. Wow.
He had just turned 70 a few months ago. So he was 19 years old, and he was a college student when he went to that game. So for me, I'll be turning 41 in a couple of months. And I didn't think I was going to see a team win a championship. So people that are my age and a little bit older will be there. And obviously young fans will be there. I have some friends who have young children, 5-6-year-old kids who are going to be there. For them, they're going to see this thing that they might never see again, but they might see it next year. Who knows? It'll be a crowd of all sorts. Mm. The people who remember the Cleveland Indians winning World Series in 1948. It'll be people who remember the teams losing 100 games in the Cleveland Indians losing 100 games in the 1970s. It'll be people who remember these Browns games where they were the clock was running out and they looked like maybe they were going to be able to win the game and they didn't win the game. You know, it's all sorts of people are going to be there who are be thrilled to be there and be able to drink in some of the atmosphere.
Finally, Toddy Abeje, we talked about Kyrie Irving and LeBron. Some debate after Game 7 about which player was truly the most valuable player for the Cavaliers, LeBron or Kyrie?
They were both the most valuable players. LeBron set the tone and Kyrie closed the deal. So they were the two best.
Okay, gentlemen, we're going to turn to international football. Thank you, Toddy, and thank you, Dan. Let's turn to international football. We're down to four teams at the Copa America Centenario here in the United States. While first-round action is continuing at the European Championship in France, joining us now with an update is VOA Sports reporter Jonah Haskell. Sporty greetings, Jonah.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The semifinal field for the Copa America is set after an exciting quarterfinal round over the weekend. The United States defeated Ecuador 2-1 to advance to the semis, where they'll face Lionel Messi and Argentina, who advanced out of the quarters with a 4-1 win over Venezuela. Over on the other side of the bracket, defending champions Chile blew Mexico out of the water 7-0, while Colombia needed penalties to dispatch Peru after a scoreless draw. Chile and Colombia will meet in the semifinal matchup on Wednesday night in Chicago, while the U.S. will take on Argentina, ranked number one in FIFA's latest rankings, on Tuesday. Argentina has dominated the tournament so far, posting a +12 goal differential through four games. But U.S. coach Jurgen Klinsmann isn't afraid. In fact, he's excited.
Well, we're thrilled because we play one of the best teams in the world. Mm-hmm. And this is what you want. And this is what, you want to measure yourself and go out there and give them a real fight. I think the team has done tremendously well in over the last couple of weeks and got rewarded with getting into the semifinal. But this is now a moment that is not happening so often in your career. So all I will tell them is go at them. Be courageous. You know, believe you can do it. Absolutely. You know, every team is beatable in the world. And if you understand that moment right now, then do it. Go for it.
The U.S. players are certainly ready to go for it, including team captain Michael Bradley, who has his eye on the final.
It's a semifinal, chance to get ourselves into a final of a big tournament in our home country. And so, as we said after the game the other day, whether it was Venezuela, whether it was Argentina, it wasn't gonna change anything on our side. Obviously, now that we know specifically who it is, we can start to prepare.
And they'll have to be well prepared to have a chance at defeating a very talented Argentina team, especially with three of the United States' regular starters suspended due to yellow cards. But Klinsmann is going to make sure that his team is primed to go.
And if you do that, and if you show the same energy, if the crowd is behind us, anything is possible. So, yes, we have respect for this wonderful Argentinian side. We welcome their fans, but we're also ready for them.
Once again, the United States faces Argentina in the semifinal of the Copa America Centenario on Tuesday in Houston, Texas. But the Copa isn't the only major international football tournament that's currently underway. The third week of play at the Euros in France is in full swing as teams play their final group stage matches. On Sunday, Switzerland and France both secured their place in the knockout stages as they played each other to a 0-0 draw, while Albania shocked Romania 1-0 for their first ever win at a major tournament. With those results in the book, France wins Group A with 7 points and Switzerland gets second with 5. Romania, on the other hand, is eliminated with only 1 point from 3 games, while Albania, with 3 points, may advance depending on how well the other third-place team fares. On the Euro schedule for Monday, the final games of a very tight Group B will be contested. All 4 teams have a chance of advancing, and all 4 of them could potentially win the group. Current group leaders England will take on Slovakia in Saint-Étienne, while the Russians will face Wales in Toulouse. Those games are coming up tonight. Expect some intense play as the survival of a couple teams is at stake. I'm VOA's Jonah Haskell. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Jonah. Jonah, getting back to the Copa, that 7-0 result you mentioned, Chile against Mexico. Sounds like Chile is ready for to defend their title.
Yeah, they didn't win their group. Argentina was winning their group, so I guess they had a little bit to prove coming out of it, their first knockout stage game. And it was Eduardo Vargas scored 4 goals for them. It was a great game. It was, and I think that's the worst defeat in the history of Mexico competitively. And they're not a bad team. I mean, Mexico is a team that I think they got to the quarterfinal of the World Cup 2 years ago. So it's really, that's an impressive showing from the Chilean team.
What do you think? A possible rematch at the Copa between Chile and Argentina?
I'd say that's probably what most sort of pundits are picking right now. I mean, the Chile-Colombia game could go any way, could go either way, but we did just see Colombia need penalties to beat Peru while Chile blew Mexico out of the water. So I'd say most people are probably picking Argentina over the U.S., and then Chile's looking really strong right now going in against Colombia, who's admittedly a good team, but they didn't just beat Mexico 7-0.
Thanks, Jonah. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Monday?
Oh, just a little team called the Cleveland Cavaliers and the city of Cleveland. Congratulations to them winning the NBA final. It's the first time in 52 years that the city of Cleveland has a sports championship. So social media has just gone absolutely wild over this. I mean, as the game was happening last night, especially because it was a close game, people tweeting feverishly. And now that Cleveland's won, we're seeing a lot of these Cleveland fans who are just ecstatic. We're seeing a lot of these great scenes from downtown Cleveland where people were out kind of, I say, rioting, kind of quote-unquote rioting. They were out kind of partying, but there wasn't really any kind of overturned cars or anything. It was right. Relatively peaceful. So more like a party than a riot. But and then just today, we're seeing pictures of thousands of fans that are lined up to meet the team at the airport. We're actually looking at some video of that just now as the team's getting off the plane. So these moments being captured on social media, we're getting, again, as we often do with these sporting events, an inside look. We're actually looking at the players right now as they're getting off the plane. They're filming with their phones the mass of people that are waiting outside. So I'm sure those are going right up on their Twitter and their Facebook, and then maybe even Facebook Live-ing, doing right. Facebook Live streaming for some of these players. But it's just really exciting for the Cavs and the city of Cleveland.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Dan Friedel, I was going through my Facebook news feed earlier today, and you had mentioned the Cavs winning the title, and you were wishing how your father could have witnessed that. I did see kind of a sweet remark on my Facebook feed that maybe the Cavs had another angel looking down on them with that big victory.
Well, I don't really tend to believe in that kind of thing, but I'm happy that people were expressing that sentiment. You know, my dad was an important person in the reason that I like to write about sports today, and took me to a lot of games and a lot of cold games in the Cleveland stadiums right. and long late night drives coming back from Cavs games when he had to get up and wake, you know, get up the next morning early to go to work. So I appreciate everything he did to me, for me, especially yesterday being Father's Day. So that was very nice. And I'll remind any of your listeners who might be interested in practicing their English a little bit to check out my story that'll be up later today at VOA's Learning English page. It's a trending today story related to the Cavs winning the championship.
Thank you, Dan. Getting back to Andrew Palcheski. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, there's, you know, when anytime a team wins, that means there's another team that's lost. And so for the Golden State Warriors, they're the first team in NBA Finals history to blow a 3-1 series lead. And that's not lost on people on social media. We're seeing a lot of memes where Steph Curry's face has been photoshopped over people choking. And
crying Jordan, maybe?
A lot of crying Jordan memes. It's, you know, this is if ever there was a time to break out the crying Michael Jordan meme, this was it. And I think my favorite was that somebody photoshopped it onto the NBA trophy, the picture from last year with Steph Curry holding the trophy, and it's got the crying Jordan meme where the, you know, basketball should be atop the trophy, the crying Jordan face. So they're saying could have been, but didn't actually happen for Golden State. But I think a lot of their fans on social media are just in shock, you know. This is the first time that a team that was up 3-1 in the series, they just had to win one more game, and they lost the next three, and they lost the series. So a lot of their fans are just in shock. They're wondering if maybe Steph Curry and his teammates maybe got burnt out after that 73-9 regular season record that they set. And a lot of people pointing out, too, saying, you know, they went 73-9 in the regular season, and they lost four games in the final. They lost almost double or half the number of games they lost in the whole regular season
during the playoffs,
just in the playoffs. So it's, you know, a lot of analysis and a lot of questions what they could have done differently, who could have played better for the Golden State fans. But there were some very gracious ones saying, you know what, it showed how much LeBron wanted this for his city, for his team. So hats off to them. They played a better game.
Still with the social media, Andrew, I know Steph Curry did not play well in Game 7. His wife sort of got swept into this NBA Finals with some of her tweeting about LeBron and maybe how the series was perhaps fixed in terms of the officiating. But it seemed like the more she tweeted, that the Warriors just sort of, their play sort of declined with all that.
Yeah, there's a kind of a theory floating around that she might be one of the reasons to blame, which I think is kind of silly. But there was the phrase by Aisha, which is, borrowed from a phrase by Felicia that a lot of people say online to, you know, Aisha Curry saying, "Bye, Aisha, your team didn't win. Sorry about that." You talk a lot of game on social media, but guess what? They couldn't keep up with the play. So even if you aren't necessarily one of these players, if you're a family member or someone associated with them, you can become a focus of the social media attention when you insert yourself into the conversation. So I think that's what happened to her. She started doing these tweets talking about the play, and that's why people are focusing on her. But other than that, it's been, you know, generally positive, I think, at least from the Cleveland standpoint. Certainly they had the positive outcome, so their fans are being more positive on social media. For Golden State, I don't know that they're blaming her. I think they're just dejected, disappointed, and again, shocked is the word I keep going back to, because they had thought they had this in the bag. They set the record. They thought it was theirs for the taking and to repeat as champions, and it just wasn't meant to be.
Huge crowd outside the Cleveland Cavaliers team plane. As they land, they're back in Cleveland, a huge crowd greeting them. I guess the Cavs will be trending for a few more days, Andrew.
Watch Twitter and Facebook, because the next big thing we're going to see is the parade, and that is going to be huge. Probably hundreds of thousands of people will be out on the streets, if not even, you know, a million or more out on the streets of Cleveland. Keep in mind, like I said, this has been 52 years in the making. There's a lot of people waiting a long time to see the city of Cleveland get a championship, and now they have one. So they are going to party hard in Cleveland and document the whole thing on social media.
Andrew Palcheski, the voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the June 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Kwame Ofori. Thanks also to VOA engineer Keith Holmes. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In a significant move to protect one of the world's most cherished species, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service this month completed a rulemaking process under the Endangered Species Act to institute a near-total ban on the domestic commercial trade of African elephant ivory. The rule, effective June 6th, fulfills restrictions outlined under President Obama's 2013 Executive Order on Combating Wildlife Trafficking. It substantially limits imports, exports, and sales of African elephant ivory across state lines. Wildlife trafficking reduces the economic, social, and environmental benefits of wildlife while generating billions of dollars for organized criminal enterprises, contributing to an illegal economy, fueling instability, and undermining security. The final rule prohibits most commerce in ivory, but makes specific limited exceptions for certain pre-existing manufactured items, such as musical instruments, furniture pieces, and firearms, that contain less than 200 grams of ivory and meet other specific criteria. Antiques, as defined under the Endangered Species Act, are also exempt from the prohibitions. This rule is limited to African elephant ivory and does not further regulate ivory derived from other species, such as walrus, whale, and mammoth. The new rule will provide federal agents with clearer lines of demarcation to identify illegal ivory. Desire for elephant ivory, mostly in Asia, is so great that it grossly outstrips the legal supply and creates a void in the marketplace that ivory traffickers are eager to fill. Perpetuating legal trade only serves to stimulate this consumer demand and further threaten wild elephant populations. During a recent 3-year period, an estimated 100,000 elephants were killed for their ivory, an average of approximately one every 15 minutes, and poaching continues at an alarming rate. The carcasses of illegally killed elephants now litter some of Africa's premier parks. Elephants are under threat even in areas that were once thought to be safe havens. Secretary of the Interior Sally Jewell, who serves as co-chair of the President's Task Force on Wildlife Trafficking, said the United States hopes that other nations will act quickly and decisively to stop the flow of blood ivory by implementing similar regulations, which are crucial to ensuring our grandchildren and their children know these iconic species.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing. So definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. This one I get, this one I get. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.